Okay. And before we start with our meeting, I will ask that we observe for a moment of silence and in recognition of the fatal accident that happened in the early hours of this morning in this province, where it is reported in the media that two taxis, minibus taxis, collided with a truck and 20 lives were lost. We take that as a very serious issue, and we would observe a moment of silence in prayer, meditation, to ask the intervention of the Almighty in what is happening in our country. This is not the first time. Thank you. Can we? Thank you. May I take this opportunity to welcome honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, the Department of Transport, the Director General, the Deputy Director General responsible for public transport, and the representatives of the small bus operators, members of the media. We have called this meeting today to open an opportunity for Parliament to interact with the small bus operators and also engage with the department for purposes of making an assessment of the progress that we are making in the country in terms of organizing the small bus operators and assist them to transform in line with the social and economic transformation agenda of the country, and assist them to realize other opportunities besides just being small bus operators, because Mawuzalwa, although you are a human being, Mawusemncane swa umfana ngesiZulu inkwenkwe nje siXhosa ukhule kuthiwe hayi noko ungene ebudodeni, ukhule kuthiwe hayi yindoda ngoku umnikazi wekhaya. Nathi sifuna kube njalo. We want a situation where you don't remain where you started. And Parliament is tasked with the responsibility of leveling the playing ground, to put in place laws and policies that would make it possible for small bus operators to grow and realize the fruits of the struggle that was raised by our forebears. On the side of the department, we then look at how the assistance and the programs that the Department of Transport put in place relate to the challenges that the small bus operators want to overcome, so that we don't have a program that does not speak to the need. Our role is to facilitate a common perspective between those that are being developed and the government in terms of services and assistance that is given to those that are being developed. And we do that in a context of a South Africa that aspires to become a developmental state. And a developmental state is different from a welfare state. In a welfare state, the government determines everything that needs to be done and provides the services on the basis of what the government perceives to be the needs of the people. And that then creates a situation of passive recipient of services. In a developmental state, the government responds to the needs that are identified and felt by the people who want to change their situation. And then the government develops programs and services that respond to those needs. But the process also involves those that are being developed to capacitate them and enable them to be the masters of their destiny, to participate in their own development. That then results with communities that are self-reliant in terms of being able to do things for themselves, that are self-sufficient in terms of fulfilling their needs, and only go to government to get the backup support when that happens. Even the government becomes more sustainable because communities begin to afford to pay for the services that are rendered by the government, and the revenue base of government broadens. That is the difference between, simple terms, that is the difference between a developmental state and a welfare state. A developmental state is where the government involves the people in the process of their development and give them the capacity to participate in their own development. In a welfare state, the government doesn't bother to build the capacity of those that are being developed. The government provides for, and that then creates a dependency, and communities become passive beneficiaries of services, and they do not even have that community ownership, and they don't even value the services that are rendered to them because they were not part of, and they cannot even on a single day pride themselves and say, we built that school, if it is a school. So I am saying this because this is not the first and the last meeting between this portfolio committee and the small bus operators. We view these small bus operators as a very important stakeholder in deepening democracy in our country and transforming the economy. We have passed in the past 17 years very progressive policies and acts. And one of them that I would want the small bus operators to familiarize themselves with is the Cooperative Act of 2005. I am saying this because the manner in which you are structured relates to the cooperative movement. And there's a lot that you could achieve if you were to transform yourself from being a council into being a cooperative movement. And also there are lots of opportunities that you could take advantage of. The second one is the broad-based black economic empowerment policy that this parliament has also passed. You are found in all communities. If we always say in transport, if we were to be asked by any person visiting South Africa to show our broad-based black economic empowerment constituency, we would first take those people to the taxi rank and show them the number of taxis. And the next site that would visit with those people is the bus rank. But we also want to see a situation where we move away from defining ourselves or your business in terms of where you started. That was the entry point. Transport is big. We have four different modes of transport in our country. We have the maritime. We have the longest coastline in Africa. We have aviation. It's bagabagit na so kulwa kulu uti ningange operate nani go. We have the rail, the railway infrastructure that is there in South Africa is more than the total kilometers of the infrastructure that exists in SADC. The South African railway infrastructure is more than the infrastructure of countries in the SADC region combined. And we are currently underutilizing that infrastructure. And then we have roads. But when you talk of transport, you don't only start by talking about just the infrastructure and the mode of transport. You also talk about manufacturing. You also talk about consumables that are used. When you really want to be a player, you would broaden your scope and say, is this country going to consume buses that are operated in other countries? Because you know, we are confining ourselves to the that operation. We are operating buses. Can we take advantage of manufacturing as well? Even if we don't manufacture a bus, can we at least manufacture the brake pads? Okay, yes, because the Amasis, Amabas, are we going to limit ourselves to the bearing? All those things. That then would assist us to look at the type of skills that we need, the type of partnerships that we need to develop, and all those things. And this meeting for us is a very, very important meeting because we want to establish a working relationship where we are able to hold you by the hand and educate you and lead you to the green pastures and show you the opportunities that exist and also lobby on your behalf for resources that would be needed for you to move from where you are and get to where you want to be. You should be able to determine how much of the 50 million people that you want to capture is the market. And what is it that you need from government to enable you to get that? And we are not going to be fighting with you. We have not called you here to talk about how many of your buses are not roadways and how many of your buses operate without licenses. We want to get to the fundamentals, the root causes of what is it that would make it impossible for you to service your bus and make it roadworthy? What are the things that make it impossible for you to do that? So that we don't address the symptoms, but that we deal with the root causes of the problems that we see. And we would also expect that you would cooperate and understand that you operate in a country that has got law, and take it upon yourself to play a positive role in reducing the problems that this country is faced with. We are then going to start by getting to know each other, because we are meeting for the first time. The members, we start with the members, we introduce themselves, you will hear their voices, and then we will move to the department so that you can begin to see who say kune parliament, kune department, and we department ubani kahlehle oqondene nani, ukuthi njani uma sizohlangana nani sibize yena. And then bese siza kwi delegation ye small bus operators. After that, we will then get to the item of allowing the small bus operators to present to us. Yes, Mr. Kalinda, Bute, and why you think you are here today. And Nifuna, even don't go. After that, the department, how is the department structured, and what is the responsibility of the program that he is the champion of, and how does it relate to you, and what is it that has been done, and all those things. This is just, and then we will have the discussion that will lead us to a way forward. What are the things that we will need to follow up on until you are at a level na sesibona khona ozakwena isanta kho sesingayiyeka noko manje, because sisebenze nayo lo 2 years and we can see the development that has taken place in Santa Cruz because of that engagement. It's your turn. Thank you. Okay. So, Kalangani is Kalbutin Luba. I am Ruth Bengu. I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. And njalo ngapha eHarding emakhaya siwaqhelile la mabhasi anginamablaki. Nemigwaqo enentuli kakhulu nokuye kusekelwe ngamatshe emalini yaphezulu ungasahambeli, ngiziqhelile ezoku. So, nikezela ama members ukuthi aqhubeke, starting from this side.
Ngingulitho uKaisene obuye Eastern Cape, Port Elizabeth, member of the committee. Thank you.
Ngiyabonga sha. Dorothy Labude mbuya eMpumalanga eNkomazi Municipality. Lunga la les comita.
My name is Ngeleni Duma. I'm a member of the portfolio committee of Kalfata. honor Stuart Ferrer from the Democratic Alliance. As you know, we are opposition, myself amongst the members of mine. We're all part of this portfolio committee, of course.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. I'm Temuco Pelele from Department of Transport. Good morning. My name is Jeanette Lavita. I'm an official from the Department of Transport.
Good morning to you, colleagues. Good morning, Grant Fredericks, Parliamentary Officer, Minister of Transport.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Mathaba Tamkwayam. I'm the DDG responsible for public transport in the Department of Transport.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Ambrose Mkutu from the Eastern Cape Small Bus Operator.
Le Small Bus Operators Committee Center.
Sanbonani, my name is Bongakele. I'm coming from KwaZulu-Natal Bus Council. I'm the member of the NCC.
Daniel Sambo from Mpumalanga, a member of the NCC.
Sanbonani, Umzwandile, Wadlamini, Mpumalanga.
Good morning. My name is Johan Schwartz. I'm a member of the Western Cape Small Bus Operators Council and also represent the council on the national body. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Wong Atuta from the Eastern Cape. And official or supporter to the chairperson of Eastern Cape.
Morning. My name is Mama Donza from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Philemon Dimande from KZN. I'm representing the Small Bus Corporation. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Gordon Makaluza. I'm from the Small Bus Operators in Western Cape. I'm also in the committee of the National Small Bus Operators. Thank you.
Good day, my name is Ashley Pilsa. I'm from the Western Cape Small Bus Operators Council.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Portfolio Committee members. I'm from the Northern Cape Bus Operators Council. And I'm also representing on the National Council. My name is Clarissa Karsten.
On my left-hand side is the committee secretary. And we want to comment her for being able to get hold of all of you. We did not have the database here. She worked with the department, and we also want to thank the cooperation of the department. The delegation, you are well represented. We thank Ms. Obuchi. She did the good work, and also my department, the Abolishiki, Lanas Lapulani Kona. Thank you very much. We will now hand over to the leader of the delegation, the Smile Small Bus Operators. Ukuthi isekeleke ukuthi ngithini ukuthi namhlanje ningazi ukuthi hhayi ningikhaphile yes ma
Gauteng, Free State, Northwest. There, those three are not here, Chair.
So those on the other good thing, but I think no, fellow. But those when I good thing, but I
I'm sorry for this error. The Gauteng province is not here. The west, Limpopo, and the northwest. Free State as well as Free State. They have apologized yesterday afternoon and noted the fact that the notice was too short and they were unable to made necessary arrangements for them to attend. And they've also passed their remarks that whatever we have done here, they will accept and as well engage with their good selves. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you then proceed?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me say once more that my name is Mlindile Yinsa, leading the Small Bus Operators Committee, the interim chair. I will make just a short a brief before we go straight to the presentation. We are coming from different provinces with a different background and also the different operations. Though the name is one, we are bus operators doing operations, bus operations. We have these 9 provinces that are in our country, which all of them have got small bus operators that have been previously disadvantaged. We are here to request for an assistance in order to make sure that we are on par with other business operations that are taking place in the country, not only buses. We want to show our commitment to the government in terms of making our own contribution towards any kind of development that is taking place, in as much as we are saying that we also need assistance. But assistance can be there, but if there is no commitment from ourselves, that assistance cannot be meaningful. So I want to assure you, Honourable Chair, that commitment is there from ourselves. Now I will ask my fellow colleague next to me to do the presentation on our behalf as small bus operators in this country. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, Mrs. Bengu, we acknowledge you. Also, thank you, Deputy DG. At this time, we also want to acknowledge our Deputy DG, Mr. Matabata, and his team for being here to support us. And at the same time, we acknowledge the honourable members of the committee. Also, the media that's present, we do want to acknowledge you as well, and the rest of our team that is here. What we would like to do today is just to present a very short little snapshot of what it is that we want to say, and that is the actual presentation that you see. However, in front of you, you'll find another document that will give you the information that will support what it is that we are saying. So when it's going to get to the questions and answer components, we will use that document to clarify what we are saying. So this presentation is going to be very brief. We were told that it's going to be 7 minutes so that we can use the rest of the time. Is it too long? Do you want me to make it shorter? No problem. Okay. Is it too short? Great. Okay. Let's move. Okay. What we want to do quickly is just to go through the slides, and then we want to just talk about what's the background. Where are we coming from? We are saying that South Africa is the process of transforming itself. That is where we are. And we want to be part of that kind of transformation. We have seen many successes in South Africa, and we are saying that small bus operators are not fully enjoying that kind of transformation. We still feel a bit disadvantaged. In the rural areas, we feel we are a bit neglected, and there are limited involvement from government at this point in time to assist us. Therefore, we would want to move to a situation that you see over here where the Department of Transport currently subsidizing the bus operators. There's some work that's been done there, but the small bus operators, as you can see, the highlighted area, we are not protected, we are not subsidized, and everybody in our organization, we are not registered, hence not integrated. Our future, what we see in our minds, is that all modes of transport must be integrated into a professional public transport system, as we've seen with the minibus, as we've seen with the trains, and with the rest of the bus operators. We want to be subsidized. We want to be in a controlled environment. We want to operate in a safe space. We want to make sure that we are also reliable, economical, regular, and organized. And then there will be some advantages for everybody in terms of what it is that we would want. That's public transport that's better utilized. Roads will be less congested because there will be more operators operating on roads. Therefore, we can see the economic opportunities for the country as a whole. Therefore, the transport industry will be considered to be less informal. Just to highlight some of the problems that we are experiencing, we are not subsidized. And we see that as a critical area for government to have a look at. The small bus operators are prominent in the rural areas. We are playing a significant role in commuting in that particular industry, but we are not seen to be safe, and we are not safe, and we are not reliable. So there are some areas that we can work on. Many of our operators are still in an informal state, and we believe that it is going to be in the country's interest to move us to a formalized position. This is what we would want. We want to have a national structure. We started in 2009 with this process. In on the 4th of November, we moved where we see all the different provinces coming together at a convention in Midrand, and this is what we are looking like right now.
you'll see that right on top we'll have the National School Bus Operators Council that is in its formulation as we are speaking right now. Below that, we will have a managing component that will take care of the managing of that. The whole council are made up of the 9 provinces, and then you have the Western Cape, the Gauteng, and so forth. Each of those provinces are made up by the various districts, and each of those districts are made up of different municipalities. Just to give you a little snapshot in terms of what a provincial structure are looking like, this is just one example, and you've got the Western Cape up there. There you can see the different highlighted areas of the different districts within this particular province. And this particular province and all other provinces will have a structure similar to this, where you will have a provincial exco, which comes out of a council. And this council is made up of different districts, two representatives of each of those districts. They form this particular council, and those districts are made up of members within the different municipalities or regions. Just to give you the rationale behind that, it is exactly what I've just said. We were speaking about the municipal or regional operators. Right there, we are talking about genuine job creation because we are working from the bottom up. We are talking about genuine empowerment. The district structures consist of its own municipal operators, and there you find real representation that's taking place. All of those representatives, there will be two representatives to form the provincial council as stated. Then we have the provincial council, which consists of two of each of those representatives of the districts, and they will be the official mouthpiece of each of those districts within that particular province. Then we have what we call the Provincial Executive Committee, which consists of those elected members of the provincial council. And I know I'm repeating this over and over because this is the crux of it. This is who we are, so that this committee can get a good picture in terms of who we are and how we are constituted. Then what will then happen, two of the members of every executive council, the chairperson plus one elected member of the executive committee of each province, are forming right now, and these are some of the members that are here today. They are forming the National Executive Council. So in a nutshell, you have the National Executive Council that consists of two representatives of the province. The province consists of a council, which is the representative body of each of those districts, and those districts are represented by all of those municipalities or regions. And our plan here is to make sure that whatever we do, whatever we conjure, whatever we design, is from the bottom up, from the municipality, all the way to the National Executive Council. But in our implementation strategy, we will implement from the top down. This is what we would want to implement, and this is where we need the assistance from this particular house. Firstly, we need to make sure that we go through a consultative process so that we can develop a constitution. That is our phase one. Second phase, we need to set up the business entity so that we can have that cooperative structure that the Honorable Chairperson has mentioned. That is the second phase that we are talking about. The third phase, we need to then find the necessary design structures and implement a comprehensive skills audit within each province. Without a comprehensive skills audit, it will be difficult to conjure up and design any kind of plan because we need to know who we are, who's out there, what are the current skills, and where it is that they would want to go to. And that is what a comprehensive audit will give us in each province. That is the third phase. The fourth phase is that we want to be in a position where we can start developing the necessary guidelines so that we can implement a skills academy. Those are the first four areas that we believe will give us a platform so that all other projects that we are going to put in place that we can present will be built on these four phases. So we are asking that you need to consider those four phases to be implemented and assist us with that. In a nutshell, we need your support to do this. We do not have the financial ability to do it. We do not have the capabilities. We do not have the infrastructure. But we do believe that this particular house will be able to assist us. So we need your support. There are some specific areas of concern. Needs and operations and the implementation processes will be found in this particular document. Let me just show you the document quickly. In this particular document, you will then find some of our operational requirements that we have just highlighted. And then I need to scroll down. Okay. In closing, this is what we want to say. The National Small Bus Operators Council presents government with a unique opportunity to redress. So anything that is new allows you to do something spectacular. Here will be the opportunity. We are saying from outside, we are availing ourselves so that this house can redress transport. We can change. We allow you to change. We allow you to fix. And now all the policies that's out there that's marginalizing us, here is an opportunity for government to say, let's take this particular group by its hand, change and fix, and that will be our way forward. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to state our case. Now we will be open to discuss the other documents. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ashley is the name, Ashley Paulson.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. When dealing with issues of development, we sometimes find ourselves becoming emotional due to our own experiences of underdevelopment. And also due to the understanding of the amount of work and commitment that goes into where you are today. And I want to assure you that you are in very good health. This committee, speaks in one voice, irrespective of the fact that we belong to different political parties, but we speak in one voice on issues of development. And we have come to understand, to have a common understanding of the role that transport plays . We define transport in this country as the heartbeat for social development and economic growth. Which then means that is nothing moves without transport. Nothing. The social life of each and every individual in this country would come to a standstill if there was no transport. And the economic standard of each and every individual in this country would come to a standstill without transport. So we value transport. But over and above that, we want to also make you understand how much we value the role that you have played over the years to provide to South Africans transport that could not be provided by the government of this country. And that is a very, very important role. We have what is called today undesignated roads. Roads that are there not because of the town planning, or regional planning. Because a community settled in a particular area, and then the taxis and the buses in the rural areas would drive escorting MN like a compact or con, Bahambisela Mobile and Apula Bishop's con, and then a road would come out. I plan longer, I'm going to town planning their corner, I'm going to longer anything. Kunabantu abebehlela phaya bedinga i-transport and yaresponda i-taxi industry, waresponda umntu wezeni, laresponda ibhasi elincane. That is not a small contribution. You have sustained the commercial industry in this country. Abantu abasebenzayo abagcwele layo ezitolo nasemafektri ngabe bebengafiki ukube beningabathathi emakhaya. So we value i-contribution eniyenzileyo. I-approach yethu thina ayibheki kakhulu the challenges which are the consequences of a fragmented and uncoordinated approach to issues of transport. We are not approaching our intervention from that level. We don't intervene at a level of the consequences. We go down to the root causes. So we want you to feel very comfortable to say, today is the first page of a new book that we are going to write today. The first page of the history that we are going to make in this country. And if we fail to make you feel good, we would have no reason to return here. If we fail to make you realize the fruits of the struggle, we have no reason to return here. So, the rest are short. We are also committed, and we accept also that you are committed. And together, we will make this country a better place to be. We will then take the next presentation, so that when we engage in discussion, we engage looking at the challenges as presented, as well as the ideal situation as presented, and then the intervention that the government, the department is putting in place. Department has been restructured to have champions for key areas of transformation. And this man
has got a big challenge, but we trust also he also has got the big brain to meet the challenge. In the writing, guys, we are going to manage. So, man, kulu mana ni? Nizo zan, ekele, nizo muzi kusiala le. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That was comforting. The challenges are indeed big. Honorable members, we once again come before you today to talk about our support for the small bus operators in the country. I must indicate the issues mentioned by the colleague in the previous presentation are all true, are all real, and are all glaring out there. We come at a very opportune time, just soon after we met with the colleague from the small bus operators about 2 weeks back, to take stock of how we are doing, both as a department but also as the operators, on the issues of transformation. We certainly are not doing that well, but that was again a meeting to sober up, come to the table and smell the coffee. And I'm sure they will agree with me that after that meeting, the momentum has increased and we will definitely be moving forward. And perhaps, it is just to indicate the coordination coming down to Cape Town. It is very true that we are not yet providing support other than having to bring them together into the form of a national steering committee or council. They will decide on the name. So much so that I am very much sure that for those colleagues who are not here, as much as they might have said that they are committed somewhere else, could also have been the issues around resources coming down. And that is an issue that we have recently worked on, and next time around, Honorable Chair, you'll have full house, courtesy of the department. The content of the presentation will deal with the context, and perhaps I think it was more elaborate in the last presentation, but we'll just give a snippet, and then we'll indicate the intervention from the department and the resolution of the 2009 National Small Bus Operator Summit that gave birth to this very same committee, and honestly report on implementation of those resolutions 2 years after, and then talk about the workshop that I've just spoken about that took place to fight it back, and then where we are going. It is true that the small bus operators operate the formal and unscheduled services, but very much important. They depend largely on special hire, some long distance but ad hoc services, and they largely operate within the learner transport environment. The definitely are marginalized. I would qualify why I call either perceived or proven, but mainly proven. And this is, I'll qualify it when we get to the actual numbers and how we would want to go forward. By authorities, with us, and the public transport role players. In this country, we've got major players in terms of bus operators. We've got close to 6-8 main players. And among them, they share close to 3.8 billion of government subsidies. And zero to the small bus operators. One would have expected that on issues of contracts, there would be subcontracting and assistance to small bus operators. It is a matter of picking and choosing, but government has got a plan in terms of going forward and really creating mechanisms like set aside and forced subcontracting, obviously not compromising quality. They operate more like taxi services because of being informal and operating unscheduled services. And this is very important because it would indicate how we would want to transform them, because the principle is more like how we had made progress in the taxi space. That's far. Not enough, but slightly formalized, registered, and having to have a national structure that then interacts with government. The major challenge is this, compared to the taxi industry, the small bus operations are not that big in terms of numbers, in terms of members. You're talking close to 150,000 taxi operator owners. In this space, okay, the figures slightly disputed because we got them from provinces, not from them. And this is one of the tasks as we are to formalize them, to tell us how many members they have. So the figure there is very, very, very small. And that should inform us how we then formalize them. If we were to have a local association in a municipality where your numbers tells you there are only 25 in a province, almost all of them would become the executive, and so on going forward. But that is, you see, it just that one. I want to qualify this point that I'm making in terms of who then qualifies to be small bus operators. And we are no longer going to then find this answer as government on our own. Then this is the meeting of Friday. This is the meeting that indicated to them that we are jointly going to draft the nature of the relationship with government in terms of MOU or MOA or SMA or whatever. We are going to jointly develop the constitution, the code of conduct, and how they would want to then get elected and represented at a permanent level at Vesina. So it is important then to give this context in terms of, it's a Friday meeting, Chair, the one has an advantage, obviously, of having been both at national and at provincial and the cycle twice, both ways. So I know the majority of the colleagues in the industry. They are those who have one bus, and there are those who have up to 15 buses. There are those who enjoy the support from the major players, in that they have a little bit of a stake in subsidized contracts, There are those who have nothing. There are those who depend on a church service around Easter, and there are those who work on a daily basis providing scholar transport. So this differentiation, perhaps, I think, that made it slightly a challenge, not an impossibility, but a challenge in terms of who then are small bus operators. Because there are those who collect less than 5,000 a month, there are those who collect close to 8 million a month. But I've just given this scenario just so that we know who is small in this small bus operators. Because others may not necessarily be that small. But others are so small that without support and assistance, they will not be able to make it in the industry. I want to indicate this thing because this is the challenge that is going to occupy the committee and us in the coming weeks. We need, as we draw up the constitution and the code of conduct, clearly define what a small bus operator is or who a small bus operator is, just so that we don't conflate. So we have representatives from a very large bus operator association, that meeting, because they also have a component of small bus operators. Those are some of the observations. They are not insurmountable and they are not impossible to resolve. Now, in terms of government intervention, in 2009, a national summit was convened by the department along the same lines of formalizing the small bus operators, because government felt that it was duty-bound to intervene and assist the small bus operators. Even today, when we talk about the development of RPTNs, the Rea Vaya and the MyCities, when they say to you, they empower previously disadvantaged individuals, it doesn't mean they talk about taxes. And we were very clear to the colleagues that with the taxes we are marching on, and the challenge is that we should also march on with them as a department. We said about 2 weeks back adjudicating on the public transport infrastructure systems grant from the cities. Now, the social inclusion models, all of them, they talk about integrating taxes. And I asked them, I personally asked them, and said, this is a very good model, but if you then believe that you are doing enough, there is this lot called the small bus operators. I don't see them anywhere in your plan. So it would mean they'll be condemned to informal church services or special hire type of services. But I think the message was very clear. Now in that year in November, we then convened the small bus operators summit. They presented, there were some resolutions and agreements. Unfortunately, we did very little, but nevertheless, some work happened. What then informs this government intervention is what I said earlier on, the previous initiatives, more especially the experiences we got from the formalization of the taxi space. Right from the NTT, the National Taxi Task Teams, the three pillars of formalization, empowerment, and training. So those are the principles that inform us going forward, even in the small bus operator space. The resolution of that service was the formalization of the small bus operators. the creation of a database of everybody in all the provinces and therefore cascading into a national database, the establishment of a national coordinating committee comprising of two representatives from provinces and two SABOA members. SABOA was there then. It was also there on Friday, two Fridays back. For some reason, it was then also included in the coordinating committee. We colleagues wanted to raise issues because I think the main question, the real issue is SABOA find itself in provinces, not outside of provinces, fairly formal. But I'm sure there were reasons then, we did not tamper much with the list. The most fortunate part about the list is that almost all the members that were there then in 2009 are there today. By the grace of God, nobody passed on, no one resigned, and they are still there. There's just one or two areas where members could not make it to the meeting, but the message was then sent. If we had representation from the Northern Cape on Friday the 4th of November, 2 weeks back, we wouldn't be having even a single woman in the committee today. Now, the two members decided not to come and they were untouchable. But then there was a lady from the Northern Cape and she was co-opted onto the committee. That's why she's here today. The other resolution was the empowerment of the small bus operations, the development of an economic empowerment model along the same lines that the chair alluded to earlier on, the issues around cooperatives and so on. And then the development of schemes for economic empowerment and create a conducive environment for SBOs to participate in mainstream public transport services, which is mainly our duty to make sure that contracts respond to the realities of the country, the issues around set aside. Obviously, we're having challenges with the Competition Act and the Competition Commission on these issues of set aside and subcontracting. But we definitely, it is there in our own legislation, the National Land Transport Act. So it is something that we are factoring in. In fact, as we speak, we are developing a formalization and empowerment strategy for the small bus operators in particular. We have done some work, but we're still in the initial stages. And again, it is very opportune that we then had this meeting, because these are the people who are going to then inform the finalization of that strategy. We learned, again, from the taxi space that if the strategy is self-driven, it's industry-driven, it tends to get ownership more than when it is done for the stakeholders. And then there was a resolution on training and skills development. I think it was more elaborated upon in the last presentation. But in general is that the observation is that the steering committee did not meet regularly due to a number of issues. I think when we wanted to find out the main reason was that there were one or two, in particular one process that the members could not agree on representation. They agreed in the summit, but when they went back then, there were these problems of follow-up. And these were the colleagues who then decided to bring more than two people to a meeting, and then its stand did not get momentum, but also as a government, we then concentrated on the issues around the database, knowing who is there, other than chairing the steering committee to come with the issues that they were supposed to do, the constitution, the holding of democratic elections, code of conduct, and then developing own strategies thereafter. And then again, a level of a memorandum of understanding or an agreement of some sort, which then obligates the government on the one side and the operators on what is it that they needed to do. These are the names, and these are the majority of the people are here today. We did not tamper with this list that's coming from the last summit, but obviously Northern Cape changes picture a bit, and I think, initially KZN had someone else, and now it is those two. This is what we got from the province. The coordination we did through the provincial department. I still believe then that this list is definitely not exhaustive. We need to do a little bit of verification. And I think if had we used the committee members, they would definitely would have polished this list. But if you look at it, and it comes to what I said earlier on, 872, as compared to about 150,000 taxi owners, operators. This would then call to question the issue of us wanting to have, say, local association, regional bodies, the provincial bodies, the national bodies. And I'll elaborate on this point later on. But this is the list that we need to go and polish. On the number of buses, I don't think we are that far off, but on the number of operators, I think we need to do some work. If you look at the list again, Honorable Chair members, it would mean, on average in total, obviously take into consideration that the Western Cape figure in terms of buses is not there, it's 2.7 buses per person. 2.7. It definitely, starts to talk to, on the numbers alone, talk to small bus operators. On the income, something else. Because, like I indicated, you have people earning 5,000 or less a month, and those that earn up to 5 million, mainly those with huge contracts on multiple routes in scholar transport and so on. The figure would then also indicate that you have got a large number in the Eastern Cape of operators. But if you look at the number of buses again, it's about 1.2 per person. So it is many operators with one or two buses here and there, three buses and so on. Whereas the Northern Cape has got less operators and more buses, giving you close to 10 buses per person. I would imagine some of them are those that are providing, who could be providing subsidy. Those with the larger fleet in the department. And then it is followed very closely by Gauteng and Mpumalanga. Limpopo first. But now the story in Limpopo is exactly what I have just said. The majority of those that categorize themselves as small bus operators are those who are having contracts with government providing shuttle services. More especially in the Vembe area, in Venda, the we have got operators close to 30 buses there, and also providing shuttle services. The workshop we held on the 4th was basically to confirm the steering committee members, and again, I must indicate, either because they are dedicated or it is their only livelihood, we still have all the members, except for those that did not pitch up. But then we committed to, one, confirming the steering committee, and then giving them an immediate mandate of accelerating implementation of the resolutions by facilitating the provincial issues, bringing them to national, and holding elections based on the form that they would have agreed before March next year, so that we can then have a permanent national structure, which would then be assisted along the same lines that we assist in Santaco. And then we were also then told that in KZN and the Western Cape in particular, they are more formalized, they held elections and democratically so, and then they have got permanent members, and we said that those models are the ones that we need to learn from, and they shall form the basis of us going forward other than reinventing the way. The way forward is that this work has already started, Honorable Chair, and then the provincial representatives have been instructed to organize elections. Obviously, we'll start with the constitution that will tell us the form, and also how then those elections will be held, and then what then would form the national structure, and what would be its name, the names of this. Santaco was not just a creation of government. I think that's a process that they followed, and then what would then be the name? At the price, we have already approached the department in terms of setting aside some resources to assist this course going forward. We were just caught slightly napping. If this meeting definitely happens in 2 weeks to come, we would have gotten a response, and would already be setting the ball in motion and rolling. And like I indicated, next time around, you will have a full house and courtesy of the department. We deliberately did not bring to the committee the real key elements of the draft strategy, because it is at the initial stage and it is not yet interrogated by the colleagues here. But we're proposing a structure as in that slide, of a national structure, a provincial structure, regional structure. I put a question mark there because, again, the numbers will tell us whether we need to go that far. We slightly skeptical about the local structure, but again, it will also depend on numbers. So you can factor that into the constitution. It does not necessarily mean that you need to have a local structure, even where you have one operator in that locality. For an example, I'm just giving an example. And those chairperson is how the department would want to intervene. I must indicate we are very serious to creating a small bus operator structure that will be supported by government, because as the chairperson has rightly said, would want to look beyond this once-off informal services, would want broad participation in mainstream public transport, would want to start preparing the colleagues in terms of how to tender, but also acquiring the relevant fleet, relevant vehicles, quality buses, just so that we would have a fully transformed and integrated public transport system in the very near future. That then concludes my presentation, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DDG. We now open an opportunity for comments and questions. Honorable Farrell, followed by Honorable Zabude.
Chair, thank you very much, and a big welcome to the small bus operators that are here today. I am familiar with Mr. Hinta and Mr. Mahuta because about 4 years ago, if you remember, when we took Parliament to the people at Tazana in the Kusani municipality, we discussed this very thing. ABC Bus Company, is that it right? Yeah? Okay. Yes, that's right. And that to me excited me because for a start, it was the first time that we saw operators being actually given the opportunity to bring their buses into a market where there was big void, and at the same time, memorandums of understanding, as I understood it at that time, Mr. Hinta, between the supplier and also yourselves in terms of ensuring that maintenance and repairs and all those workshops which are integral to this whole operation of yours was brought into play. And, you know, the chairperson said in the beginning here that we as a committee, we stand together. And we stand together on this point that, you know, where you've got some formal organization where they come together with a common goal, we see that as a recognized body, just like we do with Santaco, and we need to be able to interact with you to ensure that you get the same benefit as any other bus operator gets. And this is where I have a little bit of problem with what was said previously. You cannot discount one of the prime responsibilities that you have as bus operators away from what happened today. We lost 20 people today. You have a major responsibility here. And there's no way that I can stand here and not talk to you about how are you going to make sure that you are going to safeguard the lives of those innocent people that drive in your buses. So the credibility that you have in terms of whatever goes into your business has got to be backed up with very sound maintenance and safety plans, which tell me and tell everybody else, because we make laws here. We have two very big laws that will dictate you, three in fact. The one is the National Land Transition Act, which dictates what is a bus. And that's the first thing I want to establish, Martin. You know, you talk about one operator or people with 100 buses. But there is already the agency which acts on their behalf, and those people, if they already have got an operating license and a route allocated to them, should in fact be eligible for subsidy. If not, the department's sleeping. Because you are doing a service to a community where there is a supply and a demand. Because that is what your business plan is based on, that the people want to get from A to B. And if you can fill that void, like anywhere in the world, not only in South Africa, there's a subsidy which has to go into that process, and we understand that. So I want you to try and think about that aspect, you know, as to why you're not getting a subsidy. Maybe some answers can come to me at this stage, because if you're not, then someone's missed the boat somewhere, as I understand it, because nearly 40% of the department's budget goes into bus subsidies. If you look at the budget, there's 4.9 billion left. Now, if you're not tapped into that process somewhere, there's something that we've got to sort out here today. So that is the first thing. The second thing is this, that the Road Traffic Act is very strict about what you have to comply with in terms of your buses. So those buses have to be there. There's no law that is going to, we make the laws here. We cannot change them to say to you, now carry on with an unroadworthy bus. We can't do that. So when the police act against you and you have got an infringement, you must understand you've got that infringement in the interest of those people you're carrying. The second thing is this, that if you are traveling with buses, there is an Occupational Safety Act which also overrides this issue of who and how should operate that bus. So you can't just put someone in there that doesn't have the necessary permit in terms of the professional licensing that has to be there. And at the same token, if it is a long-distance operation that you might want to operate, you have to have two drivers. You know, I suspect at 1 o'clock this morning, people were very tired. And that is why we ended up with a head-on, like we did. It wasn't one of yours, thank goodness, and, you know, we have this situation arising. So you must understand there is those laws, and we cannot brush them aside. We put them there for a reason, and you people have to be compliant with it. Now, the other thing I want to ask, which I see mention of, but is not dealt with, and Martin might be able to help here because he was a departmental official associated with this particular move. Autopac was bought over from Transnet into the department for the World Cup. After the World Cup, those buses should have been seen to be distributed on routes where supply and demand dictate. And operators like yourself should have had access to those buses in terms of purchasing them and operating them, for the simple reason that we saw a big void, and it was identified by the department, between rural towns, let's call them that, and cities, where people have to come and do their daily business. And I want to know what's happening, because if you go down here to the waterfront, you know where the old tram is there? There's a way out there. It's pum, pum, full of buses, autopacks. The shall have a pair. They're not even using, they're not even driving them. There's something wrong there, and I want to know from the department what is happening with that. Now, if I could just say one more thing. You know, paramount to your success in this very bold initiative is going to be your business plan. Now, I think, if anything, we need to get experts to come and help you with that, because if that goes wrong, your bank won't support you. Your passengers won't, you know, they won't be driving on your bus. So those business plans as to whether you succeed or fail is very important, because you are going to make investments, and you've already made investments in very high capital machinery that needs maintenance, and they break down and cost a lot of money. So I would appeal to the department that, if anything, now that you've got this formal arrangement set up, you need to go down individually, whether the people in your organization or your council have got 10 buses or one bus, and try and get this business plan together to make sure that it meets the normal supply and demand, and that the funerals and the churches and all those other things, the weddings, is bonus on top. It mustn't be the crux of your business. Because I live in these rural areas. I live in the Eastern Cape. I travel a lot, and I see this odd bus here and there. You can't operate on a situation where there's a wedding one week and then you pray maybe there's another one the next week. I could. Please, we must have a proper business plan which justifies everybody, because if you're going to be part of a subsidy, then we must know that that is going to be working in your interest, all right, and the interest of the passengers. So let me leave it there, then maybe we can talk. And just one other thing, I see you have got the Bola part of this body of yours. They have expertise in their ranks. They are a standing body. I don't know what, some of you might even be affiliated to them. I don't know what causes you to be a member of one or another. I mean, you know, maybe you don't qualify or something, but let's see what they can offer in terms of giving you something in terms of the business plan as such, because they've been operating for many years. They know what's going wrong and what goes right. Of course.
Honorable Sabu, thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank the presentation by both the department and the small bus operators. Then, to the department, I would like to thank the leadership of the DTG and its team. I know that the small bus operators are in good hands. We are hoping to see what happens to Santaco, to see you progress and become big. So to the small bus operators, you have come to the right people at the right place. As public reps, we understand
your frustration, your hardship on the ground, because we are from there. So that is why I'm saying you have come to the right people. So we'll be there to give you support together with the department in whatever you need. So I have a few questions here. As we have indicated in your presentation and both, and that one from the department, that you are not registered. So have you tried to register the buses, and what were the challenges so that we can know how to assist in that regard? Then my other question is, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time from now? Because you, I think you have a vision to see yourself somewhere. As business people, you start small, then you cannot have friends. You have friends. What are you doing in 10 years' time? Then how do you plan to contribute in terms of job creation? I mean, in 10 years' time from now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Ngele.
Apologies for coming in late, and as a result, I missed the first presentation. Yami Tepesini E1, just one question. As a person who is from KwaZulu-Natal, Hlalanase Limpopo, Hlalanase Eastern Cape, those are rural areas, those are my areas. Real rural areas. I'm worried about the condition of this small bus, of these buses. Ngoba, we don't have tar roads, no gravel roads. We have slala kuzo. At times you see these buses, say you have just decided to travel to town, and that happens maybe once a month or once in 3 months. And then comes this bus with a door tied with a rope. You look at it and you say, when it stops, no, sorry, I'm still waiting for somebody. They're not waiting for anybody, but you're just saying, really, can I just ride in this one? And so is the next one, but you eventually get in a bus. And in that condition, that is what is happening in rural areas. We get the worst things. That is why I say I'm worried about the conditions. Are these buses monitored? Do you know that they are in good standing? That's my good buses in Zanagazon. Maybe we need to be in good standing. What do I get? These are the day old worthy. The right for Ulaisabandu. I see them in urbanized areas or semi urbanized areas, but I want the rural and gravel roads. Thank you.
Honorable Suga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also appreciate the presentations that were made here, and all of them were very explicit in their presentations, very honest, almost brutal honest to the intent. Chairperson, mine first and foremost, you know, as a person who comes from the Eastern Cape, at least I know a little bit of this problem that they are having. to the bus operators first, surely when you contest the figure, I would want us to be very honest also in terms of our buses. How many buses do we have in real terms? Because at once upon a time we came across this problem. There were some who say we do have buses on paper, but in real terms there are no buses for operators. So I want you, as people who want to be assisted we need to be very brutally honest to ourselves about this matter. Take for instance the case of Maibuye. They've been operating for something that took passes for all these years. And when you look onto yourself, it was almost zero. So I'm saying this matter of your real passes should come to play. I know the DDG reflected on the issue of the passes, also the 5,000 versus 8 million, the number of passes. Also in that regard, it tells the story. I think we need to talk about what the chairperson has raised, the cooperative approach, the best way to deal with it, because one is here and one is there, and they don't make sense to make your impact to be heard as you would wish to as you come along now. I've been interacting also in PE where I come from. And say, gentlemen, please, why can't you come together and have a case on yourself? But unfortunately, it seems to me we're only looking inwardly rather than to look into the broader picture. Because this matter of the road infrastructure, if you go to Transkei, there are no buses there. In real terms, if you talk of demand versus supply, you know, there are no buses at all. One having his own bus in a little corner, and it's not making any impact. Getting frustrated up to a point it stands there. There is no even a depot to service those buses. That's why I'm saying the question of cooperative, you must think very seriously into the matter so that you can make a voice to be heard a little bit louder on this matter. So the issue of the cooperative, I want to emphasize this matter, should come to play. But also, I think we need to interact dynamically with the provinces. Throughout the country, the provincial departments, when it comes to road infrastructure, because there's a classification of roads, where some of these matters are beyond, are not the competence, in fact, of national governments. They are provincial governments. And as such, where we are having a serious challenge, as Mama Mungyal is raising it, this issue of the access roads towards the main branches. So we need also to visit them on a Makau in the province, to talk about this matter and find their strategy in assisting the issue of roads so that buses can go. I know there are areas where no transport can go except the humankind must carry a body and so on, including the color transport is a challenge. So the Department of Transport at a provincial level must come into play for the infrastructure roads whilst you will be putting systems in place. But I'm also cover chair. When the DDG, because I was going to ask the time frame, if you talk constitution, the structures and so on, there should be a time frame. So that, because I'm looking from 2009 to 2011, it's quite a time that we are still talking about these matters, and we did not also make headway. We are not telling a good story since then, the summit. I heard the DG what you were saying. So I'm saying maybe we need to check that in. To regularize our meetings so that they come a little bit frequently to check on the progress from today going forward so that we don't talk and talk, budgets are being passed and they bypass you without also yourself putting your house in order. This issue of the many structures, identification of structures, I think I'm not going to reflect on it because I have also that concern. If you are so little in certain areas because you differ from province to province in terms of your nature, the DGG should put a question mark under one structure. We should also consider that very seriously. I'm not saying take that approach because you see it yourself. You are the foot soldier of your own making. So I'm saying, but where there's a good advice without any hidden agenda, you should also consider that as leader that you are talking about. My last chapter thing. You know, the lender parties, the subcontracting and so on, pulling the handouts, not a very good idea. It goes back to themselves that they need to organize themselves. If you do have a workshop and implement a workshop, an introspection of yourselves, this question, the long-term vision, we should start now building it towards that. Because the piecemeal solutions, because of pressures, of financial pressures,
not going to assist us at all. You will always come back, and at the end of the day, you will ask that committee and that parliament does not assist us because you are dealing with these matters on a piecemeal. We need to have a long-term approach. Otherwise, I'm happy. I'm looking forward on the constitution because we need to put our systems in order, very right, so that the implementation of our systems can tell a good story in terms of the output. But if our systems are not correct, we'll always falter here and there. You are fortunate you are having a good DDG who knows the story from his fingertips and the advantage of his being in all levels. It's an added advantage. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for coming late. I don't have much question while I was late. Mine is just a concern about this. While we are welcoming these small buses, my fear is that we can use these buses, but when they are old, they take the old men with these old buses to go and take kids to school. You'll find the old men struggling with these buses on the road because they are so old. Keep playing, going out the street, there's no mechanic. I'm having that problem of those buses when they're old, you take the old men, go and collect kids to go to school. Please, let's not do that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I will give now an opportunity to both the DDG and the small bus operators council to respond to the questions raised.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I believe my fellow colleagues will also assist in some questions because there were too many of them. But I will be in a position to handle those that I managed to note them. The issue is that has been raised is the registration. I'm sure we're talking about the registration of bus operators themselves to be in the database like the taxi industry, where they have the taxi register, who register all the taxi operators in various provinces. In essence, Honorable Chair, the reason why we are pushing for this formation is for us to make sure that we have proper structures in place that are democratically elected, that will be the driving force in all activities that are taking place within the industry. And as we are doing this, we are meaning a way or a system that will help us in making sure that when we're doing the registrations will be done according to the constitution that we have, which will be a guiding document for us, all of us across the country as bus operators. Now, these problems that have been raised around the issue of registration are due to the fact that we are operating in silos. As when you do your own operation in your own system, we don't have any structured way of doing it. Hence, we have decided to formalize ourselves in this fashion. There's an issue that has been raised about 10-year time, dream, or something like that. Once you put systems in place, it's when you're in a position to understand where you are going to. At the present moment, we know where we're coming from. We're still trying to find our destination going forward. But be the case it is, we've got typical examples that we can mention here as bus operators like the Eastern Cape province, where we've got 203 bus operators who have managed to come together and form a single company that is operating 117 buses as we speak in the province. And out of those 203 bus operators, there is a management that is employed by those shareholders of that company to manage all those operations that are taking place between the Department of Transport in the province and the government. Honorable Chair, I can assure you right now, this is our fourth year operating. We had received unqualified audit reports for two succession years from our auditor's report. That can be proved in terms of our own books, which clearly indicates that the system that we're trying to approach as bus operators across the country is going to help us because we have got references of the cases that we've managed. Like talking about also the issue of interaction between ourselves and the taxi operators, we have managed to engage with the taxi operators to have a uniform operation of the scholar transport, both bus and taxi operators under one roof, where people were able to engage one another in terms of how to make sure that we service the scholar transport in a correct manner. Though, Honorable Chair, there are challenges and problems, but we are trying to manage all those things. So I'm actually trying to say, in terms of the reflection towards of the 10-year vision, is that we want to make sure that we will have a public transport that will relate in all issues that concerns the transportation of the people in this country. We want to make sure that the taxi, buses, trains, we are able to interact and make sure that we link in terms of operations for a better plan and a better future for us. That's what we're hoping for. And also we're hoping that that will create a better job creation for our own people that are working for us. Now, as we speak, if you work as individual bus operator operating one bus that the Honorable Member has mentioned with a door open with a rope or something like that, you will only find that even that old driver doesn't even have the, what you call, the UIS. He's just operating, getting the 200 rands or 500 rands or 900 rands a week, and it ends there. Once that bus is broken, there's nothing else that he can do. We're trying to sort out issues of that nature, looking as well into the long-distance operations, trying to put up systems that is going to amalgamate ourselves to be in a position to check those buses before they leave on our own in our various ranks, and also hoping that this amalgamation that we're talking about, or this structure session, is going to assist us in terms of pushing municipality to make sure that there are facilities in terms of rents for our people that we're transporting. So I'm saying that there's quite a number of things in terms of the long-term planning. Talking about how many buses, the Honourable Member is quite correct. That's one of the key challenges that we're facing. As I've said, that some of these buses were people operating his own bus, and the rest that were operating in silence. Some of the people, they just go there and borrow a bus from a fellow friend, and that creates problems. When you find that this person, this bus has done a major problem, it will say bus operators. And when you try to make a follow-up to check who is the owner of this bus, you only find that this is not the actual owner of the bus. And there is someone else who is waiting for money. There's some of these, this one who's operating, trying to get something to honor his, what you call, obligations for his family. But he's not able to do so because of the fact that he doesn't own the bus. Now, for us to be coming up with this proposal, we want to eliminate all those problems. And we want to make sure that when we are doing all these registrations, making sure that we are going for proper elections, identifying our members, there will be criteria that will be followed in order to make sure that you are a bus operator, you are a person who is in this industry, you are not a person who is actually fronting for somebody else. So around, I think also in terms of the compliance and the occupational safety, all these questions revolve around the issue of the structured, formalized business presentation that will be able to identify gaps and challenges that are facing. So with those words, I think my colleague can end if there is any question that I have not answered.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Just to add more on what the member has asked, that some of the buses are not roadworthy. Let us take now the example in the Eastern Cape, where Eastern Cape Bus Taxi Chamber
where our data scholar transport. The requirements there, before you be allocated a route where you will be working, the transport that you will be using, the requirement from the department is that the bus must have a fitness certificate. It must have a passenger liability. It must have a permit. None of a bus operator or taxi is now doing scholar transport without producing those documents. We even went further with the MDC, visiting all the traffic stations, testing centers, making sure that on such and such a day we are at this place. We want to be there, we want to see all of them taken in for a test before we can go and allocate the routes to people. So there are areas where we cannot really monitor. For instance, there is a place in Dabangulu where people are saying, if you go down with your bus to that school, you will come up with that bus in pieces at the depth of the van. It won't be able to come up. There are no holes whatsoever. So there are people taking chances, knowing exactly that we won't be able to reach the whole province. But ours, it is straight. And once that person is involved in an accident, we need the owner. In fact, before we allocate the route, we don't need papers only. We need, you must be in position, you must be the owner of the bus. You cannot be Ambrose here and own a bus of Khan from Durban. No, it doesn't work like that. That's what the MDC said. This is meant for the Eastern Cape people. If you don't have a bus, leave it to those who have. Don't go and borrow buses that will bring problems. Because at the end of the day, we will oppose the Department of Granting issuing permits to those buses if they are not from the province. So from our side, I mean, you know that there are people who will always cheat. Yeah, and the problem of that is that we do not have some of them really. We cannot access finance. Our buses, most of us, we graduated from taxis. You know, we started in taxis when there was still a SAPTA scheme. And then we worked for years. I remember when we arrived in Cape Town 1963, there were buses from tramway with sliding doors at the back. Today it's golden hour. There's never been a black person in that company. So that's how difficult we've gone through those things. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I think my colleagues from the SBOs have dealt with the majority of those that belong to them. I will just touch one or two, just a few of the questions that the department can talk to. On the issue of safety, Honorable Chairperson, we definitely do not and will not compromise, unfortunately. And I think I'm happy that these issues come in, issues around safety, issues around cheating or borrowing of buses and so on. But if you look at all of these issues, if you had a trust and an organization, even if it is a voluntary organization, we tend to set rules for ourselves in terms of self-regulation. And those are the things that then we guard against. Taxi associations, as much as we must not like them that much because of the joining fees and so on, it will be that. But they've got rules. They know exactly what they do. They know how they behave when they go to the rank and how they queue and so on and so on. So there is some form of self-regulation. So if you have a similar formalized structure, even if it was voluntary, then you would have a code of conduct for members and so on going forward. So I think we are on the right track of forming this structure. But this question around house ball and how big keeps coming in, and I think see, you will always have a person with one bar. It will get old, he will no longer have a bus. Are you discarding him, or do you then continue to assist him to get back onto this, onto his 2 feet, and so on? So, like I said, I think the 2 years that we wasted was because we wanted to come up with something from government for the industry, and history and experience, the Texas state taught us that they need to develop their own rules and laws. We need to check those if they are legal and then support them. That is the approach we are taking, and I think that it will definitely work. And you see, this is an area where transformation can be very visible, because and obviously dependence then on government becomes qualified. Once we reach a certain threshold, the level of support cannot be with the person who has not yet participated into the formalized contract, subsidized contract system. And if they are a formal structure, we then create training programs. That would then assist them in terms, even in terms of how they need to tender and participate. We also don't like set-aside or subcontracting. Unfortunately, there will be operations that would need 200 buses. It would be a serious struggle to then expect some of them to then have that capacity. Otherwise, you'll always have the particles and the golden arrow of this world winning tenders, because they would have buses, they would have depots, they would have everything else. And they can also then transfer or cross-subsidize some of the costs, and they'll come always at a reasonable price. Now, you deliberately create a system of the set-aside, which will definitely not give you the whole 100%, because you would want this 30%, and then we added. And the initiatives like the, I think the Autopath story is a very interesting one, because it was meant to have a plan, a post-World Cup plan for the buses that we acquired. We should remember that before 2010, we put up a demand there for buses, for the number of visitors and everything else, and then the fleet requirements. It was never expected for the operators, even established ones, to buy buses for 31 days. So that is the main reason why government got onto that space. Now they used Autopass as a vehicle, because it was through Autopass that you could then be in a position to provide guarantees and go and borrow and buy buses. The majority of the so-called luxury and the semi-lux buses from the Autopass fleet have already been commissioned because of the free city to city and Translux. The challenge is with the commuter type of buses that they bought in the May, and mainly because I think in the between that period and now, there were few, if any, subsidized contracts that came out. Because you can have a gross contract where you own the buses, you want them operate, and then they come and operate. But there are plans for, again, the majority of them, I don't think all, the restructuring of Devon Transport is going to acquire about 8. They've already made some agreements. And there's also one or two areas where they would want to participate in cross contracts. I think the NLTA did not do us any favor in that come December 7, 2009, the contracting authority was now a responsibility of municipalities. Some of them were not prepared, and so on and so on. And some of them, did not and still don't have capacity as we speak. The majority of them don't even know that they've got that function. So, for those that have and are preparing a transport plan, they can then be assisted with the autotax fleet in the form of cross contract, but they will still need to acquire, buy the buses from autotax, because autotax is a private company separate from government. So that is my little bit of the knowledge around the autotax issue. But we've already sent a signal that it is worrying, and mainly because the department is the one that has the guarantee. If they are for some reason going to default, then government is going to have to come in. So government needs to find a plan to commission those buses. The Sabua participation, I think it was mainly along those lines of mentorship and support. That is the my view, and that is what I'm getting from that summit. That is why Sabua was there, and to some extent is still maintained, because also they have a small bus operators. But I think Sabua has got its own rules, and that is why would want the small bus space to be assisted by government, because would then set rules that are small bus operator specific going forward. And the other argument was then that Sabua exists in provinces and regions in the country. So if you have another representation by Sabua, so that's like a two. As the number of voters are increased. But again, the structure would have to then deal with those. The colleagues are not registered like we have registered the tax associations. Remember, it was a requirement of the NLTTA to have a taxi registrar and register taxis, because we wanted to formalize them. And then they had to have, for example, they had to have 70 members, 70 plus members to form an association. Now we still have 25 per province in this space. But there is a very strong lobby for us to bring back that issue around registration and formalization into legislation again, because the voluntary thing does not necessarily work. At the time, it was supposed to be a once-off, and then thereafter we carry on with the other issues around skills development, training, and so on. But registration, because there was again a threshold, a cut of time. Those that were in operation by July of 2007 had to then perform associations, and those were part of the B legal campaign, the legalization process of those that did not have permits. But all of the operators, registered or not registered, in the registrar's office cannot operate without a permit or an operating license. And for you to get those type of documents, you need to have a roadworthy vehicle. So there are those standards that we then have set and it needs to be adhered to. And also when we give you a contract, public transport contract, we need those things, including the roadway certificate that is renewable every 6 months. That is why when Collins, the RTMC, people and the metro police and so on, when they go into the depots, we as public transport turn away, because we do not want people to come and say, but we are providing an important service, you cannot come and stop our buses, they need to go and the transport commuter. If they are unroadworthy, they are not worthy to be on the road. So that then becomes the bottom line. I think the issue around poor road conditions, apart from the fact that they are also in provinces, but I think the maintenance grant because now we set conditions as national, not us directly, but the Rose Branch. We can be in a position to prioritize roads to schools, roads to hospitals, roads to healthcare centers, and also public transport roads. So we have that lever also to influence what the provinces can do. And RISA says exactly that. We need to prioritize the roads in terms of where you invest on maintenance to cater for the things that you would want to achieve. I think the issue around scholar transport, that when the bus gets old, it gets transferred to learner transport, I think it was answered. Our policy, which is very much complete now, will be gazetted soon, also set standards and guidelines in terms of the safe vehicles. But also the contracts. You see, the beauty is that if you provide contracts as government, you set conditions. You indicate, you can actually even indicate that the bus should not be more than 3 years or 5 years old. So once the colleagues get formalized, once they are able to get mentorship, once they get the training on how to tender, and once they tender, they would know all of these things that are a requirement of law. And even if they will not be, let's assume for some reason, for some strange reasons, they can't be formalized, we will not compromise on the issues that the law requires of them to do. It is the responsibility of us, then all of us, to then uphold the law. But having said that, okay, formalization is for now, it is not an option. There is no other option. We definitely have to get into that space and formalize. And because of the many benefits that the colleagues would get out of that process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to ask that we break for tea for 2 minutes and then come back. Thank you. You can stop. When we took the break, there were 10, and I want to recognize Honorable Ngen.
Thank you, Chair. Because I send the wind in Bala in question here. But it's about, I was reminded when they mentioned Ndabanguru and the role of Ndabanguru. Then I said to myself, you people, you have a competition. Well, by having this bad road that you cannot travel with, then the back is weak. I was reminded of a story that said Kokstad is about the same area in Ndabanguru, of a baggy air like Sabantana before. You know how kids are, they like to stand up, but I tell them they were more who didn't see, and they were involved in an accident. It was overloaded, and so those are the things that's the thing that is going to happen. Nina, if you don't go, the buggies will go. And how are you going to handle that? But definitely, abantwana school in rural areas, the family could nabo bahambe baye esikolweni, and they need transport. And these small buses cannot afford, ngenxa yokuba zikwi-rural areas. Somebody will get tractor for that matter. Tractor is happy trailer, faka abantwana besikolo ihambe. That's why I say, then you have a competition. What are you going to do?
Thank you. two hands from the side, yes, sir, I recognize you.
In the first place, I would say today is a very important day for the small bus operators. It's like another wonder of Cape Town. We can call it the eighth wonder. You know, because it's the day after so many years, 40 to 50 years of a struggle in the small bus operation. We did go through Dula Omar, McMurrah, Khadebi, you name it. Everyone which was there, we didn't sit on our backside. We did move and ask them, what is our role? Because we are dying. Because if you're small and you don't feed a small baby, he's dying away. That's the reason why you see that numbers on the board. But go to the yards of that small bus operators, they're standing buses rotten in the yards, which they can't use. Because you are completely not recognized. You have the big buses and you have the taxis. No one wants to take you in as a child to say, come and stay by me. They all push you away. We was always been pushing, and there is so many of them. As you know, the education department, that was the only operation. And that is one trip in the morning, one trip in the afternoon. Nothing else. You have a 400 radius permit for long distance. You can only pick that people up in that area and dropping at that area. Nothing else. And you look what I'm talking about, the Western Cape. What the education department is doing to these operators and contractors. If you submit your tender, you must have all your buses parked in the yard, roadworthy, fully licensed, permits, insurance, then you submit only your tender. If you don't send that documentation in or roadworthy certificates, you are not being taken note of. They really cut you. So who on earth can buy, if you got a 10 bus contract, you buy 10 buses without you knowing you are successful. You must have that buses. Otherwise you're not. That's why in people's yards is standing a lot of buses, because they were not successful in the tender and the education department forced them to buy the buses up front. Not when you are here and later you are successful, no, before that time when you submit your tender. And the price, what they are paying to these guys, they're always looking at the lowest bid. I can show you a document. With they gave a bus tender for 9 cents a kilometer. I've got the document, 9 cents a kilometer. In the Western Cape. I did hear that when that accident, it was so sad when the children was being killed in the bus and all that. I did cry. But I did cry a second time for the small bus operators, because on that graveyard I did hear what coffins is on the road. The small bus operators was being pressing down to a knees. The next day, they pulling licenses off, go and compound the buses. Guys, it was out work. They did never before buses is in the graveyard, parking, pull off, even for just a window which is maybe a small crack. And then you transport people on gravel roads. You must know you are replacing your kingpins 4 or 5 times in 6 months. The windows is cracking. Every seat is loose. When your seat is loose the next day, off, you make accidents. We are coffins on the road, that's what they call us. But no one, I did read the papers, no one did ever put the blame on the department. What are you doing? You can go now in the tender documents. which is there was 300 tenders out. And you can look what and how that tenders was perusal. It is, there is people who is making groups, they take lawyers, they take advocates later on, they can't afford it anymore to go against the education department because their lawyers, they get a state attorney, they get their lawyers, they get all, they have no expense, and you are drained down. There's no one. And that's what I call this day, such a day where we have a father and a mother, where we can also put our problems. They are dying out there up till today. And if you look at the golden arrows, why are we there as we are there today? It's not through our own. I know it's not through our own doings, because we could never get permits. It's only what we can get. Yes, you can deliver scholar transport. You can't even deliver in the area where you are. If there is people, we've got to take people to hospital, or groups, we go to shopping center. You can't even do that because you haven't got a permit for that. Your bus is only meant for one trip in the morning. Now, whoever, how can you live on that? And how can you expect to look, where are you? You see the taxis, they have route permits, they are better off than us. They have route, we haven't got route permits at all. We are there stumbling. Golden Arrow, I see on their buses, is 150 years in operation. Now, you ask yourself, they're running 1,000 buses. Did they call us already to come in, guys, giving you a slice of the cake? When there is 5 years past, where did it come out for a month-to-month operation? They do it for 5 years. You can't tell me in the whole 5 years there was no new contracts. There's new areas going up. What they do, they don't tender for it. They add to their contract. Government added. Because, and why, I did hear Sabawa, and Sabawa support this always for the big operators. There is a head of agreement. That is always what they put in your... Government can't give this tenders to nobody else because the head of agreement states that, and Sabawa did cover take that. And Sabawa was there for the big people. For Pasco, for Golden Arrows, for Master Trades, for MIN, they're sitting on the top level of Golden, of Sabawa. I was a member for 20 years. More, I'm serving on the executive of Sabawa. This thing, they all come to them and say, please, we are small. Can you help us? Can you assist us? So in 20 years, if there's nothing happening in such a big organization, and in this short time, where we say, let me speak for ourselves, because you don't know what is going out to the screens if they got to talk for us. And government did use Golden Arrow, Sabawa as advisor, because they got so much knowledge. But you must look through that window, screen windows. Why didn't they pick us up? Why we, there was all provinces, they have it in their hands to really give us what we need to give. So I feel there is really a big lag. And I want to know, how do government work their plan? When Golden Arrow did find out they need black empowerment, not the operators of the contractors which is not existing, they go to the unions. They take the unions in. And they sell their company to ACI, where the union is part of the company, and they say that is black empowerment. If that is black empowerment, then we, as the real industry people, which is in this industry, we will lose out. I can tell you, there's many, many things. So I always say, it's not through our own doings that we are in such a situation as we are now. There was always a stone on our head. We mustn't grow. Subcontracting is a dirty word, because why, you are just passing on. If they hook you up, they can give you any credit, what they want to. That's the subcontracting, what they give you. You are dying even under their own subcontracting, because it's areas where there's nothing left for you. They're taking the credit. Thank you.
Thanks. There was also another hand from this side. There were two hands. Yes.
Honorable Chair, the
Let me first respond to the question of the Honourable Member in terms of the routes and the vans that are transporting scholars there. The understanding that we have is that at the present moment there is no van that is allowed in terms of the law to transport passengers. It's only for goods purposes. We understand the issue of the roads, which are terrible burden areas where we're operating. But we are hoping that if we are moving in the right direction in terms of what we are requesting here, it is the one that is going to assist the department, which is supposed to do those routes. Because we'll be having all the infrastructure where we're working, being able to identify those problems correctly and feed the correct information to the department. Remember, we are the actual people who are doing the operations, and the government is guiding and assisting us in terms of making sure that those activities are taking place. But if there is no person who is informing the department on the actual problems that we are facing, they cannot be in a position to solve them. So I'm saying the plan that we have around the issue of the roads is that we will be in a position to identify all those routes and keep on feeding the department, which is responsible for that exercise of repairing roads, giving them the actual status of the road and the operations that are taking place in that area. So this is going to assist us a lot in terms of such developments. But on the other hand, there is an issue of the budget, where when you are explaining the problems that you're encountering to people who are supposed to be rectifying those problems, they might tell you that there is not enough budget to support you in the problems that you have. I don't know how can that be sorted out in terms of the budget issues. Like now, you will understand that the company that I was talking about that is operating 117 buses, this is the fourth month now. There is no payment forthcoming. And I indicated here that we received unqualified audit report for two consecutive years. But if a situation of that nature is carrying on, it means we'll end up not doing the service properly because we are unable to meet some of the obligations that we should be meeting. So, Honorable Chair, my issue is around the issue of the budget, because all these plans that we're putting, if they are not being supported in terms of the budget, they might collapse. Also saying that once we are coming up in this structured way, we want to have something that is going to assist those budgets to make sure that they are being spent properly and to our advantage as well, and to the entire advantage of the people of those areas where we are operating. So thank you.
Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My friend over there raised some very important issues. This industry has to get this association off the ground. Let me tell you, unity is strength. It's a word I don't use myself. I don't come from that particular era where it was used in this country, but I'm telling you, unity is strength. And why I say this is this, that because precisely what happens there in that gentleman's area with his buses and the competition that takes place, where someone comes in with a 9-cent kilometer rate, which you can't even idle a bus on, is what is happening. You as an agency and an organization should be able to determine the rate that that particular bus can operate on in that particular area, dependent upon the road conditions and everything else. That is how it works. And let me tell you something else, that the problem is, and we have sat in this committee trying to solve that problem, is that the Department of Education knows absolutely nothing about transport. They are teachers, they are parents, and the governing bodies that are determining whether your bus is safe to take the kids to school. And if it's 9 cents, yeah, they'll take it, because it means they can put another sports field in somewhere on their grounds or mow the lawns or something like that. That is how their mentality is. It has to be vested in transporters. And Martin, if you can't get that right, and we've been trying to move it, I think there's about four or five provinces, including this province, I might add, where education still dictates the actual tender and the contract to buses to operate school kids' transport. It's shocking. I mean, educators do not know what type of bus or transport these kids must run in, whether it's safe or whether it's not safe. And then they've got to, the budget should be transferred to the Department of Transport. They must assess the situation. They are the specialists. That is their job. Finished in class. The second thing is this. Over tea, we were talking about the cost of these buses. You know, for anybody to outlay 1.2 million and then have to sit there waiting for the scraps, as you call it, sir, to come their way to pick up a little trip here and there, you will never, never, never justify that payment or repayment of that capitalization. And besides, while you've paid that money, you are now sitting waiting for an operating license, which could, in some provinces, not in the Western Cape, I might think if there's one feather I can put in the cap here, is that you walk into the operating licensing situation in Vanguard, I promise you it is very professional and you'll end up getting a license within a matter of weeks if you've got the route and everything authorized. In other municipalities, it can take up to 2, 3, 4, 5 months. In some cases, I've had people complain to me they've been sitting there for 18 months waiting for an operating license. And your capital is sitting there. I call it. There's something wrong. And we need to get those PREs and those things sorted out once and for all. And if they have to take this model here from the Western Cape and replicate it across the country, which the ministers already looked at when he opened it last a couple of weeks ago, they must do so, because you cannot sit with that outlay. And the last but not least thing I want to say to everybody, the Autopax transfers, which were meant to have done, we were told that they were going to transfer them after the World Cup. There's no reason to think that people in the rural area don't need a luxury bus or air conditioning. In fact, they need it more than the people traveling on the main route, because it's hot and it's dusty and everything else. And those buses can be used very usefully in those areas, even where there is tar roads and there's people can connect from where a train stops on one place and there's nothing to get them down to their villages. So we must look at that. But I think, Chair, we need to get TRASA back here. They must tell us what they're going to do with those buses sitting in the depot, hundreds of them, and how they're going to distribute them in a fair and equitable manner to this association where people are ready to take up the opportunity. And all I can say is this, that to transfer them from book value to book value without depreciation and without taking into consideration the use that that bus has had in its condition is, to me, daylight robbery. I'm serious. We've got to actually find out how government, because you see, you're talking a government agency now, not like normal business. They can write off in terms of a board's discretion 25% a year on capital, or they can even increase it if they want to. But government buys something here, and it sits in that book for I don't know how long, because they don't depreciate in terms of their assets. So we need to look at a formula which can at least come and give a fair opportunity to bus operators to access those buses, which are doing nothing for anybody at the moment but sitting there rotting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that I want to add my voice on those who have said this is a big day. It is indeed a big day. It is a first step towards the right direction. And I want the department to take some lessons in what I will be saying today. Any change that happens because of being bold and radical in your approach. No change happens when you are gentle and nothing in the situation. It doesn't happen. When I look at the bus operators, well, most of them come from the taxi industry, and I compare them with the
me doesn't the taxi industry. You can see the difference. They are not wearing, these people that are here are not wearing designer suits because they have not arrived at us. Yes, they were part of the taxi industry. And the reason for that is no, unless we don't want to remind ourselves of the historical background. And I want to touch on that background so that we can move from a common point of view, understanding where we come from and where we are going to. When we keep on referring on the apartheid government, but not for the purpose of apportioning a blame now, but for purposes of understanding what type of a country we inherited and what imbalances exist, so that when we develop our strategy, we know exactly what we are responding to. The apartheid government did not provide transport for black people who lived in the rural areas. Even the bus that was there, the railway bus, its main function was to transport, to carry the post bag. It is a bus that would leave for testing in the morning. I am going to talk about the area that I'm familiar with. I'm from Harding. The bus would leave Pochefstein at 7 o'clock in the morning. Ihambi jikeleza ingena ozinqoleni kophadokhe ingene zonke indawo ihambi ithatha isikhwama sepozi. That was the main function yebus likaloliwe. That bus would travel up to Harding. And my figure at Harding, yayiphambana nenye ibhasi esuke eMzimkhulu going to Potchefstroom. So, mabili la mabhasi. Yinye esuka ePotchefstroom eya eMzimkhulu. Then, indlulise la eMaritzburg. Bese kusuka enye eMaritzburg iziyofika ePotchefstroom. The main function ukuhambisa isikhwama sepozi sezincwadi. Abantu bona kwakungenandaba ukuthi bahambe isikhathi esingakanani. Such that my mother would prefer to walk ngenyawo zakhe esuka ekhaya eya eHardinge edolobheni because noma wayengahamba ngebhasi wayengekakwazi ukubuya ngaleya eqhamuka eMzimkhulu if elinda le esuka ePotchefstroom. That is where we come from. So we are talking of a background where there was no transport for rural communities. And if there was no transport for rural communities, who then provided the transport to rural communities? It is the rural communities themselves. Where I come from, the first person who bought the transport of transport abantu ababuye eThekwini beya eHardinge ngoLwesihlanu was Dennis Mtungwane. He bought a gray Dodge van, which gave birth to a 32-seater bus
which was called Inkosazana. That was the first. But we area yet. And that bus, they took a Ewema on Friday afternoon. But on Saturday and Sunday, then SMT Wana would again deliver the letters. Anything much as well as Ewema. As Colette is Bendulo on Sunday. Here, we would read the letters from the husband to the wife, and also write letters as Pendula Lesia, Angaga Figi, Utenisim Dungan Guzos Colette. That's where we come from. If we cannot revisit this, we will not understand the nature of the problem that we are addressing. Udenise Mtungwana led to Abo Pesim Zazi, Bakala na Bobaba Nismot, Nomkan. Kwaze Gwapuma, in the left in Bili. The hugging inner, let Puma Gap and Gasset Bizar. And my brothers were employed by those bus operators. When they on the level, then I never said voter. Those who have money, who had the supermarkets and the shops, came in with this bigger fleet of buses. In our case, they had been Omkane Nomdungana Bagalo by God. That history is very, very important so that we can understand the monopolistic tendencies that have entrenched na kwinto yama tenders nama bus operators, so that we would understand Guti, how does it happen that PATCO would get a tender for many, many years of transporting people that are earning 1,200 a month, but the government that was going to get 7,000 subsidy per passenger. In that way, was going to get a small bus operator. Line, when's the Ravanja Longage? How much is the department paying per passenger?
$774.
No.
It is, Chair. I think there was a typo which is still in the minds of the people even today. Indicating 7,700. It's 346 per year. And then it says 42,000 passengers.
What has the department done to unbundle that contract? I don't want you to respond today. It's bad cost. But God, we will come to that. When these routes became lucrative, people from the rural areas who are working in town do want to go home every Friday, not
only after 6 months. Then those who have more financial muscle bought fleets of buses and pushed the taxi industry aside. Nikhumbule futhi ukuthi ne-taxi industry ayiqalanga ngamakhumbi, yaqala ngo-Valiant no-Crescent. That is where we come from. When the small bus operators, the taxi industry, felt the marginalization, yilaba bama-fleet, saqala isibhamu. And many people died. I-taxi industry ikwaze ukuhlala kwi-business ngokuthi ilwe. Hayi ngoba beyisupportiwe. Isibhamu esabenza bakwazi ukuhlala kwi-business. But leyo violence ihambe yahamba futhi yabakhona phakathi kwe-taxi industry ne-small bus operators. And we can't close our eyes cabanga ukuthi ayizange sibe khona. Another disadvantage on the side here with the small bus operator is the fact that our transport is not scheduled. A lack of subsidization yenza ukuthi i-transport ingasuki, whether uyiteksi noma uyibhasi, awusuki ungagcwalanga. And iphume ibhasi kwama-iteksi, ubani ozogcwala kuqala? It's the taxi. Because in a fewer seats, ibhasi inkulu. As a result of that, i-market iba in favor of the taxi ngoba isheshe igcwale. Akekho umuntu ofuna ukuhlala erenti kuze kuse. Yaba disadvantage again i-bus operator. But into yesithathu e-disadvantage i-bus operator, iyabiza i-bus kune-taxi. U-government wafika wa-intervene nge-taxi recapitalization, wanga-intervene. Noma inama-challenges injalo i-taxi recapitalization, but there was an intervention on the side of the taxi, and there was no intervention on the side of the small bus operator. But let us look at the past. Kuthi, which tire is expensive between a tire of the taxi and a tire of a bus? Yiphelizayo. Even ukusevisa nje ibhasi. Even i-consumption ye-fuel, ibhasi iyabiza. I-consuma kakhulu ngoba inamagiya aheavy. Aphuma ama-bus operators kuma-long distance routes, small bus operators. Asale eguzuzwa naye emakhaya endleleni ezingalunganga, ezingalungiswanga. Wafika futhi ugovernment noskola transport. Angithi dominant i-taxi ngala kulong distance seyivalile i-small bus operator, isekho yona dominant kulong distance. Again, yes, the taxi industry. Kusikola transport. I am not saying Ilwan. I am saying we should understand the nature of the problem that we are dealing with. And also appreciate the need of facilitating
an understanding of the terrain that you are operating in and the challenges of the small bus operators as opposed to the challenges of the established bus operators in the taxi industry. If then you look at that situation, okay, even not like Parliament, not but Kambangas, but to the most religious, use buses in the morning and in the evening, after nothing, the love must be religious. Leo contrast, I'm called with a small bus operator. I'm not sure what I'm telling you, my bus. Amahle abonisa ukuthi fleet yani yenkampani well established. Angikhulumi ngenye indawo, ngikhuluma ngathi la just transporting members of parliament from the villages to parliament and from parliament back to the villages. Akwazi kube i-consortium of small bus operators, kuba yikhampani eyodwa enamabhasi afanayo. Now, this document le ephrezentwa yi-department ayikasho lutho ngalezo zinto. Ikhuluma, it talks about the change that has to happen, but it doesn't take us back to a full understanding of the nature of the problem that we need to address. And the danger of coming up with a treatment of a disease that you have not fully diagnosed is a big problem. I said when I started here, now I don't want to talk about ama consequences and then address myself to consequences. If yeah, be connected. Yeah, but let us move. Sikale move. Coming to loan tetho lokuthi unroadworthy masivuze ukuthi kwenzeka kanjani ukuthi bathi level be unroadworthy. Ningaba yini roadworthy if I am paid 9 cents? Uyangidevelopha yini uma ngikhokhela u-9 cents noma uyangiwa? If then ngifika ekuthini, if you pay me 9 cents per kilometer per child, you are closing my business. How do you then expect me to have a road waiting bus? Because we should not look at the problem from one side. We should look at the problem in a holistic manner. Also, we need to ask ourselves, what is this transformation that we're talking about seeks to achieve? Are we in a South Africa that wants to produce a few millionaires, or we are in a South Africa that wants to reduce poverty and create opportunities for the masses? Do we want to see more people, the queues of our social development, the Wangela, in Kamkam, the Sobanabani, Aba Mbalwa, Aba Rich, Aba Super Rich? Or we want to change that situation and have a situation where
we all live comfortably. The state president says in his State of the Nation address this year, we need to balance this social grant services to its development. Meaning, Uguti, when we provide welfare type of services, when we give people food parcels and we give people free services, that should go simultaneously with the development of the people as a long-term objective. We can't pride ourselves with the number of people that are receiving free services and social grants is increasing. 18 million, 22, and then say we are in a developmental stage. A developmental stage will have that number decreasing. Because we will balance this short-term intervention of our welfare with a strategy of capacitating people so that 7-10 years' time they are able to feed themselves. And then your social grant register decreases. And in our case then, with the taxi industry, with the small bus operators, and with the people, Bama van, we just have two tools, only two. It's the cooperative development tool and the broad-based black economic empowerment tool. One day, I will test the understanding of the Department of Cooperatives, not the act. The role of cooperatives in the transformation of the economy and the role of cooperatives in reducing poverty. One day I will want the department to unpack that and tell us the strategy of the Department of Transport of using cooperatives to reduce poverty, to create self-sufficient and self-reliant families, as well as the strategy of the department to transform the economy using the cooperatives. Because I get a sense that we take the cooperative as a by the way thing. We can do if we can use that if we want to. And we don't necessarily believe that it is a tool for social and economic transformation of the country. It's the only effective tool, Nina, that I think can make us get to where we want to. Here, from our in training in cooperatives, we would be sent to Spain in Mondragon, Mondragon experiment. It's a small region. It's southwest corner of Spain. I think I'm not going to France. The Mondragon experiment is key in the whole world to developing the cooperative.
because it was started in a region that was isolated and a region that had a very small population, less than 8,000 people. And it was built, the first cooperative Yakalalapo was a school to train people on skills development. And they produced 5 people who were able to design what we all used after World War II, Final. 5 engineers were produced by that school to design the climate cell. And the reason for that is that the merchants were exploiting people after the World War II. There was a shortage of Yamala. And people who wanted to buy coal for cooking were actually robbed by the merchants. In a bag of that is supposed to be a 5 kg or a 10 kg coal, the merchants would put 2 kg of coal and 3 kg of stone. But I say Laban. And people will only see Masalefuga Ekai, which in actual fact they paid for 5 kg of coal, whereas they got 3 kg of stone and 2 kg of coal. Also, when it was cut, the staple food was being bread. And the merchants were profit driven. They would sell people bread, mass flour, bread flour, whereas in the bag, half of that would be the chopped dust and half would be flour. So mother Sira Labeka is a piast by his singwa kunga be because Augazu Suganisa in Pukuga chop Masekanganisa no flour. Then the people who started Amako cooperative said, no, we are going to teach this nation a lesson. We are going to organize ourselves. We're going to organize ourselves, our money, in such a way that we will be able to provide for our needs. We will make our money in rotation and team. Now, let us look at the taxi industry. When I was speaking to the taxi industry about transforming from being the taxi industry and define themselves as people that are operating in the transportation industry, I drew a picture of the house with one door where the money comes in and then a number of windows through which the money comes out. And at the center of this house is a big fan. When this money goes in, the fan lets the pull and the money is pulled. So, imali a person who small force operates is in general through the passage. First of all, the local animal is here. And let's leave it. Maintenance. And let's start to prepare the task. Okay. Insurance. Following a driver. A gas system.
Such that if you don't close the windows and where there is a fan, you remove the fan that is blowing the money out of the windows and put a cooperative bank, you will not win the fight. And also, if you don't structure yourself as a cooperative, you will not win the fight. So we have to culminate this issue. Guyenze Rayini, a cooperative, Yakiwa Bandaba, three. Nina, a training background, young, Jelguti. You can have a cooperative made of three people. And culminate the council. What is the Kulman Council? Mean Kulman Cooperative. Cooperative can be started by three people. And Kimina, we need the new chain and Kuluwa. You can have a cooperative that buys fuel at a discounted price. And then we start a markup and the administration. And that is then reducing another cost. You can also have eco-operative here, you can have a tie in and a master part in. You can set up your own cooperative service for Amabas in. You can reduce the cost of buying the very same buses by forming a cooperative that buys the buses. So a cooperative is a very, very powerful tool for people that feel exploited. Mina, I would not start Nganeshela Yehweza in council when we already have a cooperative at in place. Because Kuskuti, we would do a council and then the cooperative again, we redo the council. In the taxi industry, this branch of the taxi industry was established long before the Cooperative Act was passed. Santaco was born in 2001 and the Cooperative Act was passed in 2005. So they had to go that route to calibrate the council. The small bus operators are being transformed when already we have a cooperative act in existence. So for me, if I was sitting in your position, I would visit the countries that have got cooperative movements that are functioning well. And in Africa, it's Kenya, and AFA Kenya in order favors also the taxi and the bus operators. Another country that is doing well in my cooperation, particularly the transport, is Namibia. Such that the government of Namibia took a decision of saving imali yabo in the cooperative bank. A percentage of the government is in the cooperative bank. Angayizwa is patient. I have angayizwa my official department last Sunday, Gama Cooperative. They are not as patient as I am. You are not as patient as I am, Gama Cooperative.
We are, Honorable Chair.
No, you are not. Tell Agunina any impact on me. Aguene Goswa Ubuchina and the Goswa Ganja. I'm giving you a feedback that says you are lukewarm
and you can't say when I'm saying to you, you are lukewarm, which way now? No, you are hot. I don't feel you hot. Because you are all lukewarm. The reason why I'm saying so kanjalo ngithi you are lukewarm, it's because ama documents wenu awa illustrate ukuthi niyayizwa le nto ama-cooperatives ukuthi it's the tool of transforming i-tax industry nama-small bus operators nalabaya abantu bamaveni aba-exploitwa ama-semisha shop bebathuthise impahla bethi abadilize bebanikeza u-R150. Kanjalo futhi bengizomiza ukuthi niyashisa ngama-cooperatives ngokuthi ningathathi 4 years ni-drafta iskola transport because benizosebenzisa that program as a program through which you can demonstrate ukuthi the department can actually implement the cooperative program. Nitabele labantu laba abacilayo. Namhlanje basuka begqoke kanjena nje, besawafaki la mabhanti kusasa bazosuka bengasawafakile. Because ama-rates abawanikezwayo to transport children kusetshenziswa imigwaqo ebulala izimoto zabo. Awekho equal to the service and the investment abayenzayo bethenga iy'moto zabo. Also i-program yokuprioritiza road to schools, clinics, hospitals, tribal authorities and churches nilandela thina kuqale khulume thina. So we can't then say you are not lukewarm. You are lukewarm. Because even no matter Miss Landel and Geneva, you don't come to us and say, unpack this. Nihamba ngonyawo lonwabo. Funa nihambe ngesipidi nase sihamba ngayo. Nizweni lento la. Mhlawumbe into eyenza ukuthi kungasheshwa ingoba thina siyazi ukuthi when you fail to deliver we don't come back. Nina niyazi ukuthi noma singabuyanga nodlulenseze abanye abayongena. Mhlawumbe yilowo umehluko. Angeke futhi uthi you are passionate if Mr. Hinsa, instead of focusing on the strategy in the council yard of transforming themselves, they must now deal with the revolt of the bus operators that are not paid on time. Ngizoyibuza-ke mina-ke le passion yakho isho ukuthi you are passionate ukuthi iphi if they can sign i-contract in May kube nanamhlanje abakayitholi the first check beprovidile i-transport scholar transport a program engazange izipropose oyibona epropose ogovernment wa-allocator i-funding for it. Yini le ebamba ama-official ukuthi angaprocess ama-invoice akhokhela abantu abaprovide inokuthi i-transport uzoyisevisa kanjani ibhasi if the invoice is not paid? Uzoliriplaysa kanjani i-tie if the invoice is not paid? Then at the end of the day we ask ourselves ukuthi kwenzeka kanjani bahambe ngezimoto ezi-unroad with. If you don't pay their invoice, you can't service their card. kanti futhi kufanele kube nomahluko ingane zami. Bole nto le. It's a lot. Lesi yakuchaza ukuthi uvelaphi. Wawuhlala udla kahle yini noma wawungadli kahle. Umuntu usebenza ukwi-position ethile kufanele uhlale ukhumbula ukuthi wake walala umbethe isaka. Mina ngikhohlwa mina ukuthi ngake ngalala umbethe isaka. That's why I'm not even ashamed to say I'm from Hardwick. And yonke into engiyibonayo mina ngiyifisela umuntu wase-Hardwick. And leyo nto leyo kufanele ihlale isibusa sonke esinaleli bantu. Ukuthi ekugcineni sekukhona konke. Umuntu owayecindezeleke ngaphezu kwabo bonke abantu. Yilo wamuntu wathatha wayobekwa ngale kwezintaba. La kungenamgaqo, la kungenamanzi, la kungenagesi khona, la kungenalutho khona. Bese siyamthanda kakhulu lo, owakwazi ukuthi athi ugovernment engakwazi yena ukusithwala, wakwazi ukusithwala. Mina la ngihlezi khona, ngenze ngawo wonke amasiko, ukuthi konje ngingamenza kanjani. Agcine esephumelele. Uma ngelinye ilanga singezwa nje i-department ethi i-DG semvumelene nala madoda ukuthi uma kuthengwa imikhumbi njengoba singenayo imikhumbi e-South Africa, i-broad-based black economic empowerment sector esifuna ukuyivulela imikhumbi ama-small bus operators ngoba banemakethi encane. Singazihlayisi. Ngoba singathi indlu emnyama ifikile. In the same way esithole i-feedback ngayo abantu bekwazi ukudistinguisha between ukhulula.com noSantaco Airways. Bayakwazi abantu basemakhaya. Kuze kusho ngisho utata yethu uyafaka izinto ezi akaligibele. My sister doesn't. She's very much afraid of height. Kodwa wathi uma isihamba iSantaco Airways isifika emageti yilona bhanu yayoligibela lelo, uyocela mina ngimphelezele ngoba ngisabi. That means ukuthi she understands the difference between ukugilela ibhanoyi nomuntu okwangakaze qatangwe ukuthi uyoba nalo ibhanoyi kunokugilela ibhanoyi labezizwe. Sithekela, this is the starting point. Mhlawumbe singakahambi kakhulu singake kube kuhle ukuthi ke sibe ne-workshop ne-department zama-cooperatives. I-department eyiwa-understand manje ama-cooperatives ukuthi what is it, what is this animal that we call cooperative at what, and what, and what change can be brought about in this country in terms of transforming the economy from the hands of the few to the hands of many, and also in terms of reducing poverty and creating jobs and enabling our own people to have the ownership. Kangeke bakwethu ngihambe ngiyogodola iy'nyanga ezingangaka kwelinye izwe ngiyofunda ngama-cooperatives kanti ayikho into engenziwa ngawo. Clover is a cooperative, akuyona yethu, it's a cooperative. E-Canada
a similar cooperative exists, it's Scotland cooperative. It supplies the whole of Canada, Namanya Mazu, Gobisi, Namapai products. And I work on a Kanga Nizel Koning Om. Ubi is also got anything, a sugar, or Sangana, with production standard, what got them. Mela, remember, guess what then? The name comes a message with two. Only comes a case with three. Only comes a case with a water. Only comes a case with five. Last Sangana corner, I go to the good got them. Dairy. Now, process of corner be silly. That model can work in the taxi industry. It can work. It can work like Emma Bassey. It can work everywhere. We can't say we are passionate about cooperatives when we have not developed a model like a transport. Yoksusa, the small bus operators from where they are and put them in the mainstream of the economy. In a word, that means food is a cooperative. So that in Angfuna, we start in Ulaz and Nanulama cooperative because it will not help what in the family Nanulaz. If an investment was made on me, what in Fundamama cooperative, then we must multiply the number of people who understand the macro operative. And this department has got the potential because kunabantu abastructured ngendlela efavor ukuthi badevelop as a macro operative. The taxi industry is structured ngendlela efavor a macro operative. The small bus operators are structured in the manner that favors which is babe a macro operative. Different types of cooperatives, even consumer, you can establish huge consumer cooperative. It has industry in Abayona and Tengeli in Utozai. From the manufacturing plant. They can buy their own tires. It's high lab on the Lumuko or Omshop. That you are Brazil, the distributor of Mundo Yedra on the Logos, on our distribution rights at a win. How can that happen when we are part of a brick? Malponga Mona, Selibiza. 3 times the money and produce on rice. All these parts. Even Nama plants Lawazovul, Massachusetts, if we establish the railway industry, we must be clear of what it is. If we participate, all routes there. Aba if you no matuna ugu organizer our broad-based black economic empowerment bafali ngapaya kuthi babe part of that railway industry. So what I'm then saying here is that let us go back. I think I've gone this move. Let's go back and look at the nature of the problem that we want to address and then say the approach that we are going to use in addressing this problem is this, because this is what we want to achieve. If we want to transform the taxi industry and the small bus operator in the context of economic transformation of this country,
we will then develop a strategy that will take us towards that direction. Working with them. Because Bona, what they are good at, Bona, is to talk about their experiences and their challenges. And Tina, on the government side, is to come up with possible solutions to their problems. And then build their capacity. That is what we're supposed to be doing. The fact that we already have mind structure means we have a way of connecting with them, and we need to just move fast. Because it's one tool that will assist you in transforming the industry then. The rolling part, yeah, by April 2009, I comment on no gender equality. And as soon as I'm going to consider my bill, it's in the past. I give about the truth. Master Gwens were the permanent structure, and the woman should lead from the world we say again. You know what? See, one who says, young and a little funded. So I won't be saying the pine game. Next time when you come here. Make sure that while they are still greeting each other outside, you move fast and occupy the seats in the front. And even ask that you are the ones that are going to be presenting, so that you move and pace. Another from Negele, which is occupy this space, because it's an achievement for a woman to own a bus. Big achievement for a woman to own a bus. It's not an easy area to operate in. Transport is very rough. So, as Bonde, for you will come to where you are. And we said when we started, you are in good hands. This man listens. Uzon Baba Nyenga, Nishale Beguye Minente Bi, and Gwe Nungba Nyenga, next time you get to come and look at the light in Manga Korpa fully represented a Makrof in Bako. Okay. And we would also want to see an initiative as a lagoon, Efana, Nosogo Mela, or we take the industry. On those things that are born, I'm impact here, so come in. They said that they have finally agreed that there is a negative perception about them, about the things that they do to the commuters. It's an achievement on its own, because Abasa, they are no longer denying that. And in response, they are about it. We have heard you as the public. We want to change our image. It impacted us obviously more, but we have achieved in the Bayoguchi. Baza Kelebono, Operation Chogomela,
as a program that is aimed at changing the attitude and the manner in which the taxi industry treats the commuters. We would love to see the same from the small bus operators. They venture the commuters. And once things are known, into your goals, your path, because we will value the lives of the people that are in our buses and in our taxis more than the money that we want to make. Kufanele nje kube into ebuhlungu uma kuthiwa kufe abantu abawu-20 ngesikhathi esisodwa. Angazi futhi ukuthi kwenzekeni nje sengathi mhlawumbe kunesathanise. Njalo 15 people, 11 people, 17 people, 20 people, we should be worried. Should be very, very, very worried. So asithembe nje ukuthi siyavumelana ukuthi siqalile asihlehli. Mase siqalile-ke kuzofika la sizotshelana khona iy'ndaba zethu. Nani nizositshela ezethu zokuthi asiyiphasise imithetho noma siphasise imithetho exabanayo. Isitshelile nje i-department ekuqaleni konyaka esekubina la sithi RTMC, RTMC akasebenzi. Bavele basithatha babeka lapha bathi niyawubona lo mthetho. The National Land Transport Act. Mayinje, will never implement RTMC can't execute its mandate because nangu umthetho ofundile. Bathi basebenhlezi ngalo bathi thina kasiwushaya umthetho ushaywa yimina komiti. Ngoba kuzobe sitela thina iy'ndaba zethu. Lokhu nibuza thina nge-RTMC indaba ilele la kumina kulo mthetho nawushaya. Lungisani lowo mthetho-ke nizoyibona i-RTMC. Funa into enjalo thina ukuthi ma kukhona enikubonayo, if there is something that you feel requires us to intervene on. It's a problem that is created by us as legislators. Tell us. I abanezile leyo nto. In the same way nathi la sizonitshela eyenziweni na because thina sisubscribe ku together we can build better communities. Naba bengasho kanjalo ma kuyiwokhetheni bayasho phela uma sekuyiniwe ngoba kusuke sekuyiniwe. Sesebenza. No, we mean success with the NFL of hotel. Now we'll tell you after. Well, I'm telling you, I'm also picking up a new message when you were kept in the air, no game for you. And that's why we are for now, look for the Lisa, seeing an unfinder, where I'm not an air. And I'm going to look for you.
I think we are listening very carefully from your deliberations after we have presented our case to you. There's one thing that I like that you mentioned at the last to say, one has to speak what he sees. Right or wrong, but it must be a clear position to say this is what I think. At times, when you don't understand exactly where you are and what are you doing, you get to be frustrated. But if you just state your position, then you get solved easily. I remember from what we were talking about here when I was having problems of the first bus driver that I bought, and they were still problematic to an extent that I had to repair engines 4 months down the line, but those brothers were new. And my brother said to me, when problems were coming in, I was unable to answer telephone calls, and he said to me, answer his phones. Tell them that you don't have money, and then you'll be relieved. So that's not exactly what you're saying to us, Madam Chair, when you say that to voice your, you must voice your concerns. Speak loud, but speak things that have good sense. Lastly, I would like to really appreciate the opportunity that has been given by this House. And we are expecting more. And also, on our side, we show willingness to change where there are things that we can change. And also, we are willing to give a contribution where we should be giving. We are also promising that we will try our level best to make sure that we do things accordingly. When I say accordingly, I mean to say you mentioned here a very crucial issue of the accidents that are taking place on the road. We will try our level best to be part and parcel of making sure that we address those problems. And also, lastly, on the issue of the co-ops that you have just mentioned, or yes, you have just mentioned, we are also on our side trying our level best. This is a difficult thing. If you can also look into us in terms of those, what you call, workshops that they're talking about, perhaps we can be in a position to understand exactly what is the actual meaning. Whereas both in companies and all other forms of what you call a business. So I'm saying that in fact, perhaps we can also assist us in terms of those workshops that they're talking about for co-ops. Perhaps we can come into play quicker. Those words, I thank you, Honourable Chair, and the Honourable Members, hoping that if you have said that we have started engaging and we are going to carry on. So thank you.
Chair, let me try again at 2 minutes. I'm not going to argue on the lessons we got on the cooperatives. Just perhaps confirm what he partially called. It is not at the level of the Honourable Chair, but he called. And the experience last hour from Okonama co-ops and where they failed, let's leave that for the workshop. And I definitely welcome that. The co-op on a democratic structure, when it is a director certificate, our suffering we are master of a key pillar of no keeper democratically, but the Bayal, the Lava, you know, one of us who name my but we'll discuss what happened and we'll take this model as a space going forward. I'm going to be discussing a call because it was a lecture. And I mean, I need it. But just two quick things. Check. The equal contract that is dependent on the you having the account shouldn't be. Whether it's called a transport or public transport, the tonight day is demonstration you will acquire the account. Say support from somebody who says he will give you money and so on and so on. So if Kutalaba is a general, my contracting authority, it is illegal. My provinces or whatever. It is so wrong. You cannot buy buses who show what you're trying to contract. We want a demonstration that you will get the buses. We even give you 3 months to organize ourselves. The other one, 8352, and Uncle contract is paid, 350 is paid from national or the province. But even if it was paid from national, we don't owe any province any money. We pay them on time every month according to the payment schedule. But in Zulu-Sanab, I'll get the details of Zulu-Sanab. If we do that, there's no province that should be able to owe people for 4 months. Unless it comes from their own coffers and they've got their own funding challenges. But Tina is clear in the way to you would dispense a money to provinces. We do it on time. Not even a day late. The last one said, Honorable Chair, allow us just to create, to establish, make this structure permanent through a democratic process. The members were co-opted. And then, immediately thereafter, my co-ops are no longer a by the way thing. They are going to happen. Let Lababan Bali Babashili Makai, or confirm with the new Lababafuna, which was a male, Kulestra, National, which will happen by March next year. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the Chair and the Committee for giving us an opportunity. The most unfortunate part is that Nalela Chair, Lefuna Lababi Scholar Transport, it will still be me around, so poor me. Thank you very much.
Kota, this is the Masuyaguma study for Makosuyaguma over 5 Zuhamba Nan, because the biggest Kulumela is the last one, Nan. Masa Sigale goes away in Vama province. The biggest Sedenze Ogun Gavana Log. You see, when we visited the oversight of Sayanza and Northwest, Nasa KZM, Nasa Eastern Cape, Sayanza got it timing because not there, then the last year researchers couldn't want to love us in a Gula Makrovi. Abaza has been in that. Master is in my study group, the Soviet Kuluma Lesson. So, all the learning Zuma, no, Mossad, Mazilanga lie in Northwest. Mossad is Funuga Northwest, and over to the Stalin, which went to Agala. Mossad is the Eastern Cape, Lava, I told Sebastian, which is going to Agala, and he said, Inga was quite none of catching now. Mossad is the case that, oh, look up. Never mind the Gutu ISP, Honorable Lucas, Nina, the ANC. This was just spoken with him. He laughed longer than he did a connected air. This is the Hamba Sea Place of the city, the worst areas and the best areas in the province. We must respond to the province. Who connected and claims are alive, but an invisible case. Who lent to Andy and Inga Yaki, who he is. So, lay your good in and you are keeping money as cards. Now, Sigenze and Northwest, it put me in the Malaga's Hamba Songe, the Kokilama comparison of 110. So, most of Yagag is the Kulumela, Obusewala, Pesun, Goba, as Kulumi, the department is national. The Kuluma Ramas, yes, wanted our government. That is what makes the Department of Transport all these years. And we cannot only focus at him. Lapis is from a learning and this is a good idea the implementation of that. Who's Hamba Soka walk of my province? Kusanigas or my plant higher now, my cool museum. In my little legangag, was it is not going to abandon the battle in the selling. And we can't keep quiet because it plant higher a order. And it is Nigas, a map of this one for now. You are phone to look sugar last has gone. The Hunu Tola Mobo, such a way that was none of the constitution, Mr. Nick arises. The Abonga Gaku declared a meeting close.
wonderful.